Welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Sam from FPL Family.
And I'm Oscar, FPL Focal.
Oscar, we aren't quite finished with double game week 25 yet. Of course, we still have Liverpool's trip to Aston Villa to play out. And Man City are going to be in European action as they play the second leg of their Champions League qualifier. But it was a massive, massive chip week yet again. So obviously 1.1 million managers played their assistant manager chip in game week 24, and those were still active this time around. A further 901,000 managers played the assistant manager chip heading into game week 25. So masses of assistant managers in action at the moment. Plus, we had over 636,000 triple captains played in game week 25. So goodness, everyone was hoping for some big returns in game week 25. How has it been for you so far?
Yeah, a record-breaking week, actually. I was just reading one of the articles on the Premier League site, right? And apparently 3 million chips were played in total in game week 25. So over a quarter of all players, that's a new record. Yeah, I played the assistant manager in double game week 24, and I was hoping that we'd get the double game week 25, which of course we did in the end. That all said, 55 points currently, a bit underwhelming, really small red arrow to 58k. I've got Slot, Trent and Salah left to play. I didn't actually go for any Villa players in the end, which maybe was a mistake. I thought about doing the Isak to Watkins, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. How are you getting on? Do you have a chip active?
Yeah, like you, I had the assistant manager chip active, although mine was somewhat different because I had been playing the table upside over the last couple of weeks. I had it on Moyes last week and then moved it to Emery this week. And do you know what, Oscar? I was really frustrated with myself because I made the decision to play the assistant manager chip in 24 and 25 because of the double-double. So I thought, right, well, at this point, I've locked myself into that is my strategy and that's what I'm going to do. So I brought in Emery and I was quite happy. And then as the week progressed, I was thinking, I really think Hertzler might be the best bet here. And I kept going back to it. And then I thought, I can't make a change now because I've already done the Moyes to Emery thing. So if I then go Emery to Hertzler, it's going to cost me another -4. And that just didn't seem worth it. And I thought, you know, I've got to stick to this playing the double game week managers thing. And of course, it may still pay off, the Emery move, because we still have that game against Liverpool to go in midweek. And if Aston Villa managed to beat Liverpool in that game, then of course, it's going to look like a genius decision to have gone with Emery. But right now, I can't help but feel a little bit frustrated with myself that I didn't just follow my gut on Hertzler, because it would have been so much better. But as it's gone, I've had a really good week so far. Another big green arrow. On 76 points at the moment. I had Luis Diaz, which obviously was massively differential because a lot of managers have got rid of him over the last couple of weeks as he'd not been performing very well. The double Arsenal defence coming in trumps as well. So that's the first time in a while that that's really worked in my favour. And then Wood and Mateta leading the line up top has been...
Wow, he smashed it.
Yeah, it's been a good week. So it's 76 so far. Oh. So yeah, it's a nice green arrow. It's taking me up about 150k in places. Nice. So yeah, highest rank of the season so far now, sitting around the 300k mark. So hoping that we can get a good return in midweek, get me inside the kind of 250k and then push on to the second part of the season.
Yeah, it left us in an interesting predicament, that double gaming or double gaming dropping in, because those that already had triple Liverpool, it's like, do you sell one to then buy Slot or do you just go for Moyes? And obviously, although Emery's been disappointing for you this week, like Moyes smashed it last week. He got 22, didn't he? And Slot got 15. But obviously, yeah, this week, Villa drawing with Ipswich, which we'll talk about. That was underwhelming in terms of that assistant manager. I think it just made sense to go for the double game week assistant manager, even though, yeah, it played out disappointingly. Yeah, 21 points Hertzler got. Maybe should we talk about that game first?
Like yeah.
Chelsea losing 3-0 to Brighton.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because obviously we'd had a preview of this game in the FA Cup last weekend. Mm. And in my head, I was kind of watching that game thinking, oh, this would be quite interesting in terms of what we're thinking for game week 25. And I only had Palmer in that game in the end. And watching Palmer, obviously Chelsea have suffered recently with injuries. They've lost Nico Jackson, Maduaki the same. And that has made a big difference. And I think, you know, say what you like about Nico Jackson's big misses over the last few weeks, but he makes a difference to the way that Chelsea team
totally
play.
Agree.
And without him, they just didn't look as potent. And I think from a Palmer perspective, he looks much more off it than he does when Nico Jackson's there. That relationship with Nkunku just isn't quite the same and it changes his position on the pitch. Now, for me, Palmer's a really difficult one right now because we're not seeing the regular returns. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, when people were, he was one of the most transferred out, wasn't he? And I was kind of looking at that going, I don't really get it, because in the last 5 game weeks prior to that, he'd had 3 double-digit hauls. And I was like, okay, well, I just can't see why it's the right thing to be doing. And then as time's progressed and Chelsea have picked up these injuries, he's looked less and less like an asset I want to spend that level of budget on. However, going into game week 26 and then beyond, looking at game week 29, they do have a fixture. So he's a really difficult person to sell, given you've got players that are blanking and you have to manage your team from that perspective.
Yeah, I still feel the same way about it. I mean, it shows what I know. People were selling him and he did do badly. I thought he was an easy hold, but he's got Southampton. Let's not forget, he's got Southampton home, Leicester home, back-to-back coming up. So there's no way I'm selling him. And after all, he's on 175 points, which is still second most in the game. Like, only Salah's got more.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's just a bit of a dip, though, isn't it? And I think that's the thing. Yeah. It's not getting too trigger happy with those transfers because you could easily just go, like you say, I've had enough, I'm selling. But then when you look at the fixtures, plus the fact that there's a game, all right, it's a difficult game in game week 29 against Arsenal. However, it is a game nonetheless. And at a time when your Liverpool assets and your Newcastle assets and your Palace assets and your Villa ones won't be featuring, it seems counterintuitive to get rid of Cole Palmer, given that he does play that week.
Maybe in game week 29. Of course, that's a blank game week. So first of all, the priority is having 11 players. But if you're in a luxury position where you've got the transfers to move some around, then maybe he could be the one you sell when they're away at Arsenal. But yeah, just 0.54 expected goals for Chelsea against Brighton. 3-0 loss. Minté with a brace. Crazy. But yeah, as I say, like, I'm keeping hold of Palmer. Someone I think who's got to be a sell is João Pedro, right? After losing his spot, seemingly.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think if you do want to invest in Brighton, there are better assets that you could go to. And that front three, I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, Oscar, but I could fill that front three probably twice over with players that I want to own right now. Like, I love my front three. Currently, I've got Isak, Mateta and Wood, and that's been working like a dream. But there are other players that I keep sort of longingly looking at and thinking, well, I don't know how I'm going to get you in my team because there's just so many assets that I would like. But João Pedro is definitely not. He's definitely not one of them. He does seem to have lost his spot. We're seeing a revival from Matoma and genuinely probably not just the best goal I've seen this season, but one of the best goals I've ever watched, that goal that he scored against Chelsea on Friday evening. He's got 34 points in his last 5 matches, 3 goals and assists and 5 bonus points. Like, he's very, very slowly just coming back onto the FPL radar. And I think, you know, he's got Southampton coming up and a really, really nice fixture there. I just think that with Matoma, maybe it's the time that we should start investing. And if you go early on him, then you might just give yourself potentially a huge upside over managers that wait a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that. There is another player that I think is starting to come into our thinking, and I don't think anyone expected this. Marino.
Yeah. Well, you're the Arsenal fan amongst us, so go on, you talk about it.
I wanted to get straight to that Leicester game, yeah. I mean, I looked at the lineup and I was like, oh no, like Sterling, Trossard, Wanneri. I was just thinking, like, we've got players out for a long time, like Havertz out for the season, Hayes long term, Martinelli and Saka out for a while. I was watching the game thinking, it could be like anywhere 4 to 6 weeks of this, and it was a really bad watch, like the first half. You know, Sterling, with the greatest respect, he just was so ineffective, kept losing the ball. And it just looked like something had to change soon. And it was Marino that came on second half. Trossard moved over to the left wing. So, yeah, I wonder how we're going to line up in future games, whether he's going to persist with Marino striking now. Mm. Interestingly, Marino did say after the game he's not going to play there again. But I can't imagine a world where he doesn't, because we just look so much better. So, yeah, Marino off the bench with a brace. Is he an option?
It made the world of difference, didn't it? Because actually, up until the point when Moreno came on, I thought Leicester were going to hold out for a 0-0 draw. Like, I said to Lee going into this game, like, I just wonder with the attacking issues that Arsenal have over the last few weeks, or have now going into the next few weeks, rather, could we go back to seeing that kind of 1-0 Arsenal results where defensively super solid and therefore the double up at the back is the right thing? But up front, like you say, with Trossard, Sterling and Wanyeri, it was kind of like, well, how many goals are we going to get out of them? Because you are missing your biggest assets. Like, you are in that moment that Spurs have been for a while where you're missing really key players, and scoring goals might be a challenge. But Moreno comes off the bench, makes the world of difference to the way that attack formulates and works. Now, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I don't think you can go Moreno just yet. I think it's one of those where you have to wait. And if you want to go for an Arsenal mid, then Wanyeri would be my choice right now, particularly as he's so cheap. He's really easy switch from Morgan Rogers, which avoids the blank in 29 as well. So feels really nice. I do think we have to be a little bit cautious, because Arteta did say, he also hinted that Calafiori could play up front at some point. There was kind of conversations about potentially Zinchenko going up top. So I think we'll just have to see who he deploys. And if we start to see somebody really kind of taking that position and making it theirs, that's the moment I'd invest. Yeah. But I think if you do want to go with Arsenal at the moment, the double Arsenal defence feels like the right thing. If you want to go, you know, for a midfielder, then I think it's Wanyeri. He's only owned by, what, 1.3%-ish of managers. So really, really low owned, nice differential. Four goal involvements in his last 371 minutes, which is really nice. So I'm interested. I think that's probably how I'll triple up on Arsenal.
Yeah, I was about to say the same. Obviously Arsenal, they're blank in 29 either. So they're a team that a lot of us are looking at. But yeah, if I was looking at Arsenal midfielders, I'd probably have Moreno as my third or fourth favourite. Yeah, Trossard and Wanyeri is where I'd look. He's only 17, Wanyeri. Like, he's the future of Arsenal. He played the 90 minutes. He took four shots, two on target, one big chance created, one assist, two aerial duels, one 100% success. Just a brilliant game from him. He's one of those that can create something out of nothing. And he's honestly just way ahead of his years in terms of how good he is for 17 years old.
Yeah, so, and when you think about the price point in FPL as well, super easy to get to. So it's not even like with Saka, where you have to really carefully plan for how am I moving budget around. With Wanyeri, he not only is he great, like you've just described, he's easy to get and probably enables you to get someone else as well.
Yeah, he frees up so much money. I mean, another cheap player who's freed up a lot of money is Rogers, but he didn't do so good. Do you have Rogers?
I do have Rogers, and he was top for XG underachievers in game week 25 so far, which has been a real frustration to me. And to be honest, Rogers has been a bit of a frustration to me over the last few weeks, because every time I watch Aston Villa, I think he looks great. He's, you know, the focal point. Obviously, I think back particularly to that Champions League match where he was just phenomenal, gets the hat trick, comes back into the Premier League. And then, I mean, Aston Villa always struggle a little bit after Champions League football, and they did that last week. But this week, I thought they just weren't quite on it again. And I was expecting big things from him. Obviously, I had Emery as my assistant manager in this one as well. Plus, I had Morgan Rogers. So this was my kind of banker. A bit like with Moisey last week, I was thinking, right, well, he's going to get the Leicester win. That's going to be great. And then anything against Liverpool is a bonus. That's how I was feeling about Emery this week. I was like, right, he's going to get the Ipswich win. And then anything against Liverpool is a bonus. But that's both games this season now where Aston Villa have dropped points against Ipswich, both home and away. And Rodgers, yes, a bit unlucky, but I think after this double becomes a bit of an easy sell, because no game in 29. We've just talked about Wanyeri. He's, you know, a nice, easy in. But there are plenty of other assets that are coming good in those midfielder slots. And I think he's a difficult one to keep holding. Yeah. Ollie Watkins, though, maybe is the standout conversation in this one, because there were a lot of brave FPL managers who made the move to go from Isak to Watkins. And for me, I did think about it, but it would have been a -4. And I could not bring myself to spend a -4 transferring out Isak to bring in Watkins. But for over 550,000 managers did bring in Ollie Watkins. He was the third most transferred in player going into the week. He was a doubt as well. He had a flag on him.
That's true.
So that was kind of another thing that was making me a little bit more cautious, I guess. But yeah, maximum bonus points. And he's starting off the double already now with 9, and of course still has a game to go. So bit of a regret for you as well, not having Watkins.
Yeah, fair play to anyone that did the Isak to Watkins move, especially. I know that wasn't how everyone bought him, but that was obviously an option to do in one straight move, because they're about the same price. Yeah, I couldn't bring myself to do it, like, because of how good Isak's been this season. And the slight uncertainty of Watkins, will he start? Like, we'd heard he's going to be in the squad, but we still didn't know 100% if he was going to be starting or not. So, yeah, I couldn't bring myself to do it. And in the end, I just thought I'm going to roll. But, yeah, slight regret not doing that. We'll have to see, of course, how Isak does in the next few compared to Watkins. But, yeah, looking great if you brought him in. But, yeah, Rodgers, as you said, he got that hat-trick in the Champions League. And then in the FA Cup, he gets a goal and an assist against Spurs. But as far as the Premier League, I'm just looking at his recent output. I think he's got 3 yellow cards in his last 4 games, and that's it. That's all. Yeah. That's all he's done. So
it's really frustrating. It's really, really frustrating. And I think, if I'm really honest, Oscar, I think I probably would have thought about selling him. I think the 1 year in for Rodgers thing, I probably would have done this week had Rodgers not had the double game week. But I think, you know, when you've got a player that's got a double, a bit like you said about Liverpool before, like, if you've got somebody that's got a double, it's really difficult to sell them unless they're categorically ruled out. Like the Gakpo thing, I could understand why that was really contentious for a lot of managers, because he sort of didn't rule him out. He sort of did say that he wasn't fit. It was a bit like, oh, I don't know what to do with him. So for managers that had Gakpo, I think that was difficult. And I think with Rodgers, because we knew he was fit, so he was going to play both games, as long as he didn't get injured in the first one, which of course he doesn't. So I'm expecting him to start against Liverpool in the second. I can't take out a player who we know has got massive potential for hauls, because we've seen it in the Champions League, like you say, the FA Cup. He does really well from attacking perspective as well. But yeah, I don't know. With an XG of 0.83, he was unlucky not to get something this time. But unlucky doesn't get you FPL points, does it?
Yeah. Frustrating. 2.52 expected goals for Villa as well. That was the most of all the weekend's games. 0.37 expected goals for Ipswich was second fewest. So again, like those that went De Zassi or Martinez, a bit unlucky. But yeah, let's see how they get on in the second game against Liverpool. You mentioned Gakpo yet there, so maybe we could talk about the Liverpool game. Yeah, he was like a doubt for the game. We didn't know if he was going to play. Gakpo ended up missing that Wolves game. And now apparently he's a major doubt for the Villa game as well. So that, again, it's just like, when you don't have the complete information, it's difficult to make those decisions. Like, if we knew Gakpo was out, you go to Watkins or to someone else. But yeah, quite unlucky. Do you have Gakpo, or are you on?
No, I'm on Diaz.
You're on triple Liverpool.
Yeah,
Diaz. You got Diaz.
Yeah, Diaz, Salah and Trent. So for me, this game was actually perfect, because obviously Trent gets subbed before they lose the clean sheet. Lovely. Salah scores and gets me points, but not too many that it's causing me to have a red arrow, because obviously his effective ownership was absolutely huge, because he was on a lot of triple captains this week. And Diaz was just a massive differential for me, because he's so lowly owned in the game, and particularly around my rank, hardly anybody's got him. A lot of people over the last few weeks have just lost faith in him. And to be honest, it was the Gakpo thing. I was never really going to sell him anyway. I kind of felt like I was trebled up on Liverpool, so I was sticking with them until after the double. From next week onwards, from 26, then I'll be looking to change up the way that I'm investing in my team and move off of Liverpool in preparation for 29. But I was kind of looking at it thinking, well, do you know, if Gakpo doesn't start and we go back to a front three of Diaz, Jota and Salah, then I think that makes Diaz fantastic again, because we had that at the beginning of the season and Diaz was absolutely phenomenal. Now, the one thing that I would say is this was his first attacking return in 7 appearances. Obviously, he gets the goal and he gets the assist, so it's a really nice haul, and he got the bonus point, so lovely. But he did only have 1 shot. So again, it feels a bit like Chris Wood, doesn't it? Like you get one shot goal, and it was like that with Luis Diaz. So I feel like, you know, he was a good asset, but he was one of the most transferred out. Just looking at the list of transferred out players last week, he was 2, 4, he was the 6, 8, 10, 12. He was the 12th most transferred out player heading into a double game week.
Wow,
which
before
for
a
me,
double game week as well.
Yeah.
I know he blanked in the last double, but yeah, that's surprising.
I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Not with a fixture against Wolves and Villa. Like, I just thought, if Gakpo's a doubt, then I think Luis Diaz is going to get better. So very, very happy with him. The Gakpo thing, I think we'll just have to see, won't we? Like, if Slot had come out in his press conference and said, yeah, if he'd have said before the press conference for Wolves, oh, he's a major doubt, I think a lot more people would have sold him, because you would want to target in on both fixtures. But because it's only really now that we're starting to hear about the extent of the the doubt that he is, that I think people will be frustrated. But then a lot of people are probably going to have Chris Wood coming off their bench, so they might not object to him not playing in the second game. We'll have to see.
Yeah, that's true. There's the auto subs, isn't there? Some people love their first sub, haven't played already and might have done disappointingly. Some people will be praying that their auto sub comes on. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Diaz as well. He's on 9 goals, so he's already his best scoring season.
Yeah.
You know, and he's still got so many games to go. But yeah, Liverpool as well, like they've got 60 points from 25 games under Slot. The only manager ever to get more in their first 25 games is Mourinho of 64. So it's incredible how well Slot's done him. Mm. It's also incredible like how well, I run out of things to say about Salah in my videos, if I'm honest, but obviously he set the all-time record of points. He got 303 back in 2017-18, I think it was. He needs 45 points from his remaining games to break that record. And that would be the equivalent of him getting 3.5 points per game in what's left of this season. He's averaging 10.4 per game.
Yeah.
Like we're witnessing a truly special season right now from Salah. But yeah, the problem is, like you said, he's in everyone's team. His effective ownership's really high because everyone's got him captain. So there's a little rank gain basically as a consequence of that. And it's kind of like a 10-man game every week, isn't it, right now?
Yeah, it feels like last season when we all just captained Haaland every week. This season, it's like, okay, well, you're just going to captain Salah every week. He's the first player to reach 100 points at home this season. He's got 103, 9 goals, 5 assists and 15 bonus points at Anfield this campaign, which is madness. He's also got 156 points in his away matches as well, by the way. So, you know, he's doing incredible. If he carries on like he is now, like you said, with a 10.4-point average, he's going to end the season on 394 points. Which
that's crazy.
Is just insane.
Like, I don't know if I'll ever see that broken. It takes something truly special.
I know. I think it'll be one of those where this season for Salah will just go down in the FPL records and it'll be like, that will be the pinnacle of, and we'll be talking about this in like 10 years. Can anybody beat Salah's 394 points? And that's just if he continues doing what he's averaging. If he overextends, which, look, let's be honest, he could. And particularly if the title race does get a little bit tighter and we do see the likes of Arsenal or Man City or whoever it might be tightening that gap on Liverpool, and Liverpool have to then kind of go a little bit harder, we could see this even further. And, you know, maybe he'll be breaking the 400-point barrier, which would just be an absolutely remarkable, remarkable thing. So, yeah, I agree with you, though. It does feel like you're picking, you know, 10 other players. He just is there every week and he just takes that slot. And then it's, can you make the other 10 work for you? I think for me, the big thing is that when you get to 29 and he's got the blank, unless you've only just bought Salah, stick him on your bench because you know you're 100% going to want him straight back in again and you don't want to lose any team value in him.
This is it, actually. I was going to ask you about Salah and Isak. So maybe we'll talk about Newcastle next as well, because it's a big decision for game week 29. Like, do you sacrifice team value, you know, to potentially gain some points? Like, you know, you could sell Salah and buy Haaland, for example. That's quite powerful in game week 29. Or do you keep the team value you've got tied up in those players? But yeah, Man City 4, Newcastle 0. Marmoush with a hat-trick in 32 minutes. He was the biggest HG overperformer. You mentioned earlier, actually, Rodgers was the biggest HG underperformer. Marmoush was the biggest HG overperformer. He got that hat-trick, 0.71 expected goals in just over half an hour. Yeah, crazy result, really. They just ran away with it early on. I mean, Edison got an assist as well. He set a record. That's the outright most assists of any keeper in Premier League history now. He's got 6. Oddly, by the way, another odd stat here. We've had 5 different keepers get assists this season. That's the most since 2010, 15 years ago. Do you think that's just a coincidence, or do you think there's a slight tweak in how managers are setting up keepers to play? You know, long balls in behind, try your luck. Route 1.
I think so. I think there's a slight tweak. I think, you know, most of the time most managers like to play out from the back now, and we see that as a kind of mostly regular strategy that managers deploy. But then just occasionally you see this kind of switch it up, and like when a player's got themselves in a nice position. We saw it with Verbruggen, didn't we, against Chelsea on Friday evening as well. Two goalkeepers with assists this week, and my oldest, he had Verbruggen as his goalie, so he was absolutely over them. I know,
because he got the clean sheet as well,
over
right?
The moon. Yeah, absolute hole from Verbruggen, and I was just like, that's mad that you've got an assist and a clean sheet and some bonus points, like, brilliant. But So I do think that there is a slight adjustment there that, you know, yes, we want to play out from the back and that's how we're going to play as our kind of status quo. But just every now and then, if you see a player that's made the run, go long ball to him and see what happens. And yeah, we are getting that regularly. We had it with Pickford last week, right? So I think it's one of those things that if you've got one of those goalkeepers that has that potential in them, and Ederson, as you say, the most ever now, so we do know that he has that in his locker. It's just something, I don't think you're going to invest in a goalie just because they might have been able to do that, but it's so nice. It's so nice when they do though, isn't it?
Yeah, it happened with Pickford, didn't it? Remember double game week 24 as well? He got the one against
straight away.
Leicester.
Yeah,
straight away, first minute. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Absolutely mad for everyone that brought him in. So yeah, I think when you get something like that happen, that's just such an unexpected bonus in FPL, isn't it? Like, that's the thing that makes me happiest when that one of those things lands. But yeah, Marmoush, I'm quite excited about Marmoush because, a bit like you were just saying about how you're going to manage blank game week 29. Like, I've got so much money invested in Salah and in Isak, to be fair, that I'm not selling either of them because I know that I'm going to want Salah immediately back because the way that he's playing, I'm never going to go without him this season. I just can't see it. And Isak, I might have been tempted to go without him, but with the announcement of double game week 32, you're not going to go into double game week 32 for Newcastle without Isak, I don't think. I think, you know, you're going to want him in there. So in my head then, I was like, well, it's going to make it really hard for me to get to Haaland for game week 29. But I definitely want to be invested in Man City for that game. Yeah. And then up steps the other Egyptian in our league and goes, hang on a minute, don't forget about me. I'm quite good as well. Yeah, so that's his third start in a row now for Man City. Yep. I really like what he does to that Man City team. They look so much better, a bit more balanced, a bit like when they used to have Alvarez in that position. I like his relationship with Haaland. I think that's working quite nicely. It's coming on well. We will have to keep an eye on the Haaland knee potential injury. Obviously, they've got Champions League football again in midweek, but he did seem to hurt his knee. So we will have to be mindful of that. But yeah, 150, for a random stat for you here, Oscar, 154 managers, triple captained Marmoush for his hat trick and his bonus points in game week 25. So congratulations to all 154 of you. I don't think I'd have been that bold, particularly against Newcastle, because I'll be honest, I didn't expect this result to go the way that it did.
Blatant time travellers. That's all I've got to say about people. Did you see the guy that triple captain Dango, actually? And Bournemouth actually invited him to the club to go meet Dango himself. I really
good old Greg.
That was a nice nod by Bournemouth. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love the fact that Bournemouth are fully invested in FPL now, like, come on, club. So I think we should all do that. Maybe Man City can invite all 154 of these guys, he captained Marmoush.
Yeah, Marmoush, he's an interesting one. I'm going to see how the next few weeks go. As you say, he started three in a row, but De Bruyne hasn't. So we've not actually seen De Bruyne and Marmoush together yet. So I'd like to just see if he keeps playing. I imagine he will, based on the impact he's had, but you never know with Pep.
Have you got any thoughts on going back to Gvardiol, Oscar? Because three returns in four games now for him. He's got a goal there and two clean sheets. He's also had three big chances, and that's more than any other defender in those four matches. So I don't know. I almost didn't ask you that question because Man City defensively have been all at sea. But then this week, against a good Newcastle attack, they keep a clean sheet, and maybe Gvardiol is back on the menu?
Yeah, I'm almost certainly going to buy him in 29 because I'm not using my free hit then. It could be season defining that week because as it stands, I am planning to sell Salah to get Haaland. Oh,
how much would you lose?
I think it's about 0.5 million.
Wow.
I just look at the doubles coming up, like City potentially doubling game week 33. Liverpool, I believe, not expected to double again this season. So it's really going to be a big decision whether to sell Salah, like, with the season he's having. It seems a bit crazy to say it out loud just for the sake of an extra double game week. But I think if I'm going to sell anyone, it'd be Salah because Newcastle, they've had that double game week 32 announced. They could double again in 33, like potentially back-to-back doubles. So I just think if anyone, it's got to be Salah that I'd sell, but maybe I don't. It's really tricky. I mean, surely you're going to have Haaland if he doubles in 33. So then what do you do? Do you just keep Salah till the last minute or do you go early? Because they've got Brighton home game week 29. Sorry, I'm going on an absolute ramble now. They've got Brighton. It's driving me mad.
It's really hard.
One.
It's really hard, this. In an ideal world, Oscar, I'd sell Palmer. That's the ideal scenario here, is that I sell Palmer and use the money to go to Haaland up top again so that I can have Haaland and Salah. That's the way I would like to go with it. You could not pay me to go without Salah. I just would be too scared. And so I get you. I think for 29, it makes absolute sense to sell Salah and get Haaland. My issue is that I'm going to wildcard in game week 30 or 31, there or thereabouts. So investing back in Salah is not that hard. I could lose him for a week and then have him straight back in again. So the fear wouldn't be, you know, it would only be there for a temporary fear of not having him. But my issue is that, like you, I think I stand to lose something like it's a stupid amount of money.
Yeah,
it's
a lot.
I'm looking at my team and I'm thinking, well, okay, well, can I realistically afford to lose that much money in terms of team value? Because I do still need to maintain some sort of bench for the bench boost. So, and at the moment, my second goalkeeper is Fabianski. So I need to make sure that I've got a second playing goalkeeper for a bench boost, which I'm currently thinking I might play in game week 33. Because then it's quite close to the wild card. I could get it done and then I could strip some money out of the defence, out of the bench rather, to go through to the back end of the season. So that's kind of where my head's playing out with my chip strategy right now. But this is why my Moosh is so interesting to me, because I'm looking at Haaland and I'm thinking the only way to probably get him is to sell Palmer.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm happy to sell Palmer, either going into 29, but then equally, that's not going to be a priority because he's got a match and I've got to make sure that I get a full starting 11. No, all right, you could say, all right, well, fine, just take a hit. And that is absolutely potential that I take a minus four. And as part of that minus four, get rid of Palmer and bring in Haaland. I think you do need a plan for sure. And Marmoush, and it is a big if, because obviously we've seen the hat trick this week, but that's it so far. So I'd need to see more in the coming matches. Yeah. But if we see something, then maybe Marmoush might be the way that we go, a bit like when we did Alvarez before. Now, all right, we did Alvarez alongside Haaland, not instead of Haaland. But maybe for 29, it might be that I go, okay, rather than going for Haaland and having to sell Palmer and taking big hits, instead I'll just get Marmoush and hope that he is okay to get me through that game. Yeah. Might be the strategy that I deploy that would enable me to keep the team value in Salah, because let's be frank, from game week 30, you're going to want Salah straight back in again. So,
well, this is it. They all come out of game week 29 with nice fixtures, and that's the problem. With the greatest respect to Spurs, like Palmer's got Spurs home, then he's got Brentford away, Ipswich home. So that's quite nice for Palmer. But then Man City have got Leicester home in game week 30. Then it's the Manchester derby. That's nice. But yeah, like Salah's got Everton home, Merseyside derby, Fulham away, West Ham home. They've all got great fixtures. So it's a lot to think about nearer the time. But
And we might get Saka back in a conversation as well at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, then you've got more of our premium assets. And I do feel like what happens in the coming weeks is going to be very much the premium conversation. It's, okay, how... We haven't had to make this decision for a while. We made that swingy decision sort of around game week 10, 11, didn't we? That was like, okay, can we move from Haaland to Salah and should we just do it? And most managers did it quite early and it's worked out well. Now we're at that point where you've got to make a decision. Do you swing back the other way and go for Haaland, or do you stick with Salah and try and find value for both? But we do have to keep an eye on that injury. Obviously, the Champions League fixture and the extra press conference that we'll get out of Pep will give us an idea as to whether that injury that he seemed to pick up with his knee is actually serious, or whether it, you know, is just one of those things and he'll be fine again for the Real Madrid game in midweek.
Yeah, let's see. But, you know, the time is flying by here. Let's talk about some more teams. How about talking about your team?
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about Spurs.
1-0 win.
Man United 0, Spurs 1. Obviously, like Man United, beyond bare bones on their bench. It was just like Lindelof and youngsters. Yeah, over the last six game weeks, 11.78 expected goals conceded for Man United. Only Southampton worse. I think if you're a United fan, I'm sure they're collectively thinking, let's just write this season off and see how the next one goes. Because now Ahmad's out for the season as well.
Yeah, and that's going to be a massive problem for a lot of people. I think I read a stat that said something like, of the appearances that Manchester United had on the bench, all bar one of them were for Lindelof. So in the Premier League, which is mad, wow. Right? So, and that goes to show you how important it is to have a bench. And that's something that Spurs, it was interesting that it was us two playing each other this week, because that's where Spurs have been for such a long time this season, relying on the kids off the bench. Now, over the last few weeks, Postecoglou has brought the kids off the bench and given them game time. What happened in this one is that we saw Spurs utilise all five subs.
Yeah.
Protect the players that were coming back from injury. The Maddison, who I thought was having a fantastic game, by the way. He was bought off. He protected people in terms of their minutes, with the exception of Vicario. We'll talk about him in a minute because he was phenomenal. But, you know, everyone else was protected. The flip of that was at Manchester United, where that he was just like, okay, well, you're my 11 and I'm going with you. And there wasn't a confidence in the kids that were on the bench to come in. So I think it's difficult. I think it, obviously, if you've got Ahmed, which is where a lot of investment in Manchester United was, then he's an easy sell. And I think, you know, we've talked a lot about budget players on this stream already. If you want to go for Wanyeri, you can. We haven't talked about Bournemouth yet, but there's the Kluiverts and the Altaras and Semenya, yeah. If you prefer, you know, you could go for one of those options. There's plenty of cheap options right now that you can go to instead. But I just don't think that Manchester United are worthy of FPL conversation right now. It's a real struggle, which is such a weird thing to say about Manchester United, because normally, like, it wasn't that many seasons ago that I was like all aboard the double up in midfield. Like, it was like, you have to have Bruno and you have to have Rashford. And, you know, I for points of this season, I've had all sorts of Manchester United players in my team. But right now, I just can't find anyone that I think... Yes, you'd agree with that.
I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place because I've got Bruno and he's been so hit and miss this season, like really disappointing recently. Maynou was out for that game, Ugarte, Collier, so he was playing centre mid. Obviously, you want to see him playing as a 10 and he wasn't. But then they've got Everton away. I guess that's quite a hard game right now. But then they've got Ipswich home, Arsenal home, I'd bench him for that. But then they've got Leicester away in game week 29. So they've got Ipswich and Leicester in the next four. So I'm just like, do I sell him or do I keep him? I've got limited transfers as well before game week 29. So I might be stuck with him until, you know, game week 30, 31 when I wildcard. I think right now, I hate to say, do you keep him? I think you have to keep him.
I think
him,
you
don't
probably
you?
Have to, Oscar. Yeah, because like you say, it's that nice game in 29 against Leicester. Although, you know, that is Ruud van Nistelrooy against Manchester United. And you never really know with these things. And as the closer we get to the end of the season, the teams that are obviously fighting for relegation survival are going to be more and more difficult to play against. They're going to, and I guess for a Manchester United perspective, it was difficult this week because they had a lot of illness as well in the camp, which caused them to lose other players. Maybe it's a bit harsh to say that there's no options there at all, but right now I think they're easy sells. Bruno, I do agree with you, though, is more difficult. And it's very easy for me to sit here and say he's an easy sell. But realistically, a bit like we've just said with Palmer, not that easy when you've got other players that are blanking in 29 that you've got to deal with first. Unless, of course, you're free hitting in 29, then it's easy.
I was about to say exactly that. Yeah, if you're going to free hit, then you've got loads of options. Go wherever you want. I think one player I would sell him for, if I didn't have him, was Mbeumo, because they've got Leicester next and then Everton home. They don't blank in 29. I think you can make the case still for going to a Bournemouth mid, but really it depends on how you're looking for 29. If you've got the transfers, everyone's team's different. Some people are sitting on four or five transfers. Some people have just got one and it's looking like it's going to be tight for game week 29. And if that's you, then I feel like you have to focus elsewhere.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to be taking minus fours anyway, just because you sold Bruno now. So yeah, reluctantly, I think I might be stuck with him and then I'll get rid later. Although again, they might double a 33. So like maybe I'll end up...
I might
be stuck with Bruno forever, yeah.
But you can always bring him back on wildcard, I guess, if they do double then. Like, I think from that, on the other side, so they are still in the FA Cup, so they may have some doubles around. We're obviously going to know that ahead of game week 29, so that will be helpful for you in terms of making that decision.
Yeah.
From a Spurs perspective, no likely double between now and the end of the season, realistically, because obviously both Spurs and Liverpool are now out of the FA Cup, so they play that game in game week 34. So Spurs may be a team that you do want to invest in for 34 just to help get you through if you're not free hitting, or even if you are free hitting, they're probably still going to be a team that you are going to end up with somebody from, depending upon how it looks. Now, at the moment, I still struggle with how you invest in Spurs because, all right, we keep a clean sheet today or yesterday, but it's not, that's not standard for Spurs by any stretch of the imagination. Defensively, it's been a struggle, but players are coming back and having the goalkeeper back was phenomenal. It was his first start, obviously, since game week 12, back to back clean sheets for Spurs. Wow. It's quite frankly a miracle, but he does make six saves. He earned two save points and, you know, he did look really, really nice. I think I'd struggle though to recommend you invest in a Spurs defence. Yeah. The one I've got my eye on for game week 34 is Tell. Like, I thought he looked good in the last couple of matches.
He
is lively. And I think he wasn't playing in his best position. He was top for shots across the game week this week alongside Jimenez with seven for each of them. He was lively. He was involved. Ideally, he wants to play in that second striker position, I think, alongside Solanke. And once Solanke's back, I think that'll be a really nice partnership because Solanke's busy, he's busy, and I think they'll cause some trouble. But right now, it still feels too early to go there, even with a game against Ipswich up next. I feel like it's too soon to really go heavy on investment in Spurs just because we've had two back-to-back results in the league. Yeah, okay, great. That's wonderful. I'm feeling positive, but I'm still not going to go all in from an FPL perspective. But Tell is definitely on my radar. He's so cheap as well. So
how much is he?
He's six. So he's cheaper than all of the other Spurs mids. So you can easily get to him. And I think if once Solanke is back and they're playing alongside each other, which actually shouldn't be that far away now, if we've got a front three that's then functioning with him as part of that, I really like that as a potential option. And I like the way that he was changing positions with Sonny during the course of the game against United. So one to watch, but definitely not one to invest in right now.
Yeah, we've got a couple of new signings to monitor, really, Marmoush and Tell. I wish we had an Arsenal player that we just signed to monitor, but we didn't sign anyone. But yeah, like just on Ipswich, right? Next week, it's Liverpool against Man City. Man City are playing home, actually, against Liverpool. So I'm looking to sell slot. I don't know if you're thinking the same, but I'm looking at table bonus opportunities. And Ipswich are one of those. They're playing home to Spurs.
Yeah.
But, Spurs, you've got players coming back now. You're starting to look better. So I'm not totally convinced by it, but it is a home fixture for Ipswich. Where else? I mean, Wolves are away at Bournemouth, maybe, because Wolves are, although they lost, like they're starting to look a bit better. Crystal Palace are away at Fulham. That might be where I go.
That's the one, I think. Yeah, I think that's the one. It's really hard though, isn't it, Oscar? Like, to target table bonus next week, as part of me is just thinking, do I just stay with Emery against Chelsea and hope that they get the win?
That's what I was going to ask you. Are you just going to stick it out? They've got Chelsea, right?
Yeah, I think I might, because when I look at it, I think, okay, well, table bonus has been my thing all along. Like, it's been like, right, I'm going to go Moyes for table bonus. I'm going to go Emery for table bonus. And I look at the fixtures, like, look, this week into game week 25, it was so many managers that I could have targeted and gone for. And like we talked about Hertzler at the beginning, and I still regret that decision. But when I look at the fixtures for this week coming, like, I could go Van Nistelrooy against Brentford. That's an option. Like, that's something that I'm considering because Leicester are at home. Brentford don't travel so well. Maybe that is the sort of game that Leicester have to win if they want to stay in the league, right? Yeah. So maybe that one's got potential. You don't get the table bonus for Everton and Manchester United. You would get it with Potter against Arsenal, but I just, that feels like it's going to just be a problem. I can't see West Ham getting anything against Arsenal. So there's no point in playing for table bonus if you then get nothing. Like, you might as well go for
I hate to say it, but I'm not sure about that West Ham game, you know. Just because of how unconvincing the Leicester game was. Like, we really struggled. It was such a dull watch. I really hate to say it, and there's no way I'm buying Potter, but I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised, like, if West Ham pull off an upset, you know, and the title race is over. But I really hope it doesn't happen. I really do.
Goodness. I'd ruled out Potter on the basis that I just can't see an upset there. I think you find a way to win that game 1-0.
It's just because of all the injuries. Like, if it's Sterling, Trossard, Wanneri again, I don't know. I think we're in massive trouble. If that's how we're lining up for the next 4 to 6 weeks, I don't know. It's difficult to be optimistic. Like, when there was no signings made in January, like, we were one Havertz injury away from being in serious trouble. And that's exactly what happened, like, straight afterwards. Martinelli got injured, like, 2 days after the window closed. I still think Hertzler is an option, you know, assistant manager. No, there's no table bonus, but they've got Southampton, who obviously just lost 3-1 to Bournemouth. Maybe we'll quickly talk about that game, because 58.62 expected goals conceded for Southampton this season. That's rock bottom. And they're also worst over the last six game weeks. So I think he's a genuine option as well. You still go for Hertzler and just back them to win comfortably, go for goal points, maybe clean sheet points as well. Mm. I think that's an option, yeah. I mean, all that talk, though, of Bournemouth midfielders, which one's the best? And they all did all right. Like Dango got a goal, like Kluivert got an assist, Semenya got an assist. Semenya was the one I had, and of course he got booked, so that was a bit painful. But...
Oh, and was so unlucky though, Oscar, because he should have scored again. There was that moment where I really thought Semenya was going to get a goal, and he was right through, and I was like, oh.
Wriggled through a few Southampton players, didn't he?
He did.
Did everything right, and then that's kind of Semenya in a nutshell, though. Like, he's so good for shot frequency. I think only Haaland's taken more shots this season, but his finishing obviously just doesn't begin to compare. So he gets the shots, but not the goals so much.
I went into this one without a Bournemouth mid, and I was terrified, absolutely terrified about it. But I couldn't bring myself to sell Rodgers or Luis Diaz because they both had a double game week. So instead I went for Højlund at the back, and then was so frustrated when Southampton scored this consolation goal. They basically didn't have any real attacking threat in this game, and then somehow managed to take out the Bournemouth clean sheet, which frustrated me so much. But yeah, I felt kind of got away with it a little bit this week because it was the points were spread across the midfielders. So it wasn't like somebody went on a massive haul. Kluivert gets another attacking return. He has got 66 points now in the last seven game weeks. He's on 128 for the season. So he's still the one for me that I prefer of the mids at Bournemouth. And he's still a priority for me to bring in. And this is why I think there are so many other assets that change, like, and in terms of my assistant manager, like, it's going to cost me a transfer to move from Emery to one of these other guys, and I'm not sure that the table bonus is going to stick in many of these matches, and using the transfer to go Emery to Hertzler when I think Aston Villa, I think, have got a good chance of beating Chelsea next Saturday evening. So maybe I just stick with Emery and instead use my transfers to go from Luis Diaz to a Bournemouth mid, or from Rodgers to a Bournemouth mid, or from Rodgers to Wanyeri. Like, all of those things feel far more sensible.
Yeah, I really like the Bournemouth mids. You know, they've got Wolves home next as well. Then it's Brighton away, Spurs away, Brentford home in blank game week 29, Ipswich home in game week 30. And they've all got their appeals, really. Like, Dango's the cheapest one, and he is playing striker. But then there's Kluivert, who's got the most points, and he's on penalties. And then there's Semenya, who actually gets the most minutes, generally. That's the one thing about Kluivert. He came off early last match for Tavernier. So Semenya is the one who's kind of best for minutes. But they've all got their benefits, so it's difficult to separate them. I've had Semenya for ages, so for me it was just, like, naturally just to keep him. I'm not copying you, by the way, but I'm going to buy a house in next game week.
No, it was, I did Hall to Højlund. That was my transfer this week. One of them was to obviously swap Emery for Moyes. And then I did sold Lewis Hall. And then obviously the double game week got announced. And I thought, oh gosh, have I done the right thing? And then I was like, well, no, it's fine. Because it's after my, you know, when a double game week first gets announced and you go, oh my God, I've just sold. And then you're like, no, it's fine. It's fine. I'll have a wild card before then. I'll bring him back in. Take a deep breath, calm down. But yeah, so I did that. And I ideally, I would have liked Kerkez because of the attacking threat that he has. But in order to have Emery as an upgrade on Moyes in terms of the budget that you need for the assistant managers, I needed that extra budget for that. So I've gone with Højlund, and I like him. Like, and I feel like this was 4 points dropped. He really should have kept a clean sheet in this game. Defensively, they were good. It was just one mistake that they had in this one. So I think he's a good buy. He's a really nice, cheap budget defender. And actually, I think he's probably one that will stick on my wild card anyway, because between now and the end of the season, he's going to be handy for a bench boost. And if I don't want to play him every week, that's fine. He's so cheap. He's like my fourth defender now. So it's easy to maintain him in my team. Whereas with Kerkez, I think you have to have a little bit more. You probably want to play him every week. It's a bit more difficult to bench him because of his price.
Yeah, he's a bit more expensive, but obviously plays fullback, so he's the one that's whipping it and crosses all game. Whereas, Housen, a bit less likely to get you something. It'll have to be off a set piece or a corner.
Yeah.
So yeah, it could be Housen that comes in for me, but I'm not going to make that transfer just yet. It'll have to be after Wednesday, of course, because game week 25's not wrapped up yet. So as we keep saying, Bournemouth, one of those teams that don't blank in game week 29. So as FPL managers, we need to start formulating a plan, really, for game week 29 and which players you want to be bringing in, whether to use a chip or not. Lots to think about.
And while you're thinking about it, don't forget to join Kelly and I. We'll be joined this week by Ian on the FPL pod. We'll be talking about the best options for the assistant manager chip in game week 26 and also what the double game week announcement for 32 means for us and our FPL plans.
And if you haven't already, join the FPL pod mini league. The code to join is Q7YCO0. That's Q7YCO0. It's good to talk, Sam. Really enjoyed this.
Yeah, it's been really good fun, Oscar. Lovely to see you.